Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to the Nancy Lockhart Show. This is Nancy Lockhart. Today is Sunday, November 15th, 2015. I am Nancy Lockhart. I may be reached at area code 843-412-2035. You may email me at thewrongfulconviction@gmail.com, Twitter at wrongfulconvict, and Facebook. Please go and like the Nancy Lockhart Show. Tonight I'm not playing any music or that kind of thing because I think we're really pressed for time. We're going to speak about the life of saving the life of an innocent man whose name is Rafael Holiday. He's innocent of capital murder in the state of Texas. I am completing, or I still have his blog under construction, but please go there for additional information later on tonight and tomorrow. Visit www.justice4raphaelholiday.blogspot.com. Justice, the number four, Raphael, R-A-P-H-A-E-L, holiday.blogspot.com. Raphael Holiday is innocent of murdering three children by pouring gasoline and starting a fire. He's innocent of molesting a seven-year-old girl as well. There are just so many issues within his case that need to be professionally investigated and documented. CPS employee Rhonda Harris cleared Holiday of molesting the child, and he has never been charged or indicted. His lawyers have put out erroneous information. They have basically told or put the information out that he was charged and indicted of molestation. That's incorrect. The lawyers have basically told the state of Texas to move forward with his murder. And I personally feel that the young man needs decent legal representation. He's scheduled to be executed on Wednesday, November 18th. We have with us Ms. Debbie Harris, who has been aware of this case for some time, working on this case for some time. And I'm going to bring Ms. Harris on to basically tell us the story of Rafael Holiday and share with the listening audience actually why he does not need to be executed. As I said earlier, there are many, many issues that need to be investigated. Debbie, are you with us?
I'm here, Nancy. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so basically, you know, here I have that at 18 years of age, Rafael Holiday entered a sexual relationship with a 24-year-old white woman whose name is Tammy. It was later determined that Tammy was sexually involved with four other men in addition to Rafael. Some of those men were sex offenders who spent time around her children. Tammy's daughter was molested, and it took her 3 days to get the seven-year-old to the doctor. She lied about Rafael molesting the child. She was a really manipulative person. And so kind of fill us in on basically, you know, why he was involved with this woman who was so promiscuous. And what ends up landing him on death row?
I think in the beginning, from what I've understood, is that he was with her. He was a young male. And to be blunt, he was a horny young male. And so he was with her in the beginning for sex reasons.
Mm-hmm.
He stayed and continued in that relationship, and she ended up getting pregnant with their daughter. And I think at that moment, that's when he realized, okay, this is now the real deal. I need to step up my game and, you know, be a man that I should be the father that I should be.
Okay.
And that's
okay.
How they ended up staying together longer, I believe.
Okay. So basically, Raphael has told his story. He stated that he did not pour this gasoline. This is sort of a tumultuous relationship, kind of back and forth. Tammy is the 24-year-old's name. I mention her race because this is in what I'm told from several people that live in Texas. This is a very racist county and area of Texas. I think this is, Montgomery County, Texas. So
this
I bring
is down
up
in
her
Madisonville.
Race. Go ahead, huh?
This is down in Madisonville. That's where they had lived at the time.
Madisonville. Okay. And is this mm-hmm. in Montgomery County?
There's a whole cluster of the counties and towns, so they're all really small towns. I think I had stated wrong, Nancy, and told you wrong that this was Montgomery County. This is not Montgomery County, but they're just a small cluster of towns dependent on each other.
Okay. All right. Well, go on and explain to us what happened and what ends up getting him arrested.
In March, there was an incident with Tierra that they had found out that she had blood in her panties. And when she was taken to the doctor, they said that she had been sexually molested. Raphael at that time was taken into CPS and questioned by CPS about this incident. They had released Raphael and had not indicted him nor charged him with the crime. There was also a couple other men that were spoken to about this. I don't know the outcome of what happened with those men, if any of them were charged.
Okay, and let's let the listening audience know, Tierra is Tammy's 7-year-old daughter. Is that correct?
From a previous relationship.
Okay.
Tammy and Raphael continued to see each other in secrecy from hotels to her home. She would have Raphael go in the trunk of her car and sneak her over to the house, and that's how they would do it. So they continued to see each other in secrecy, even though this had supposedly happened with Tierra and she believed this. They did continue to sleep with each other. In June, both of them together had told Raphael's mother that they were going to get married and that moving forward, this is what they were going to do.
Okay.
And then, unfortunately, the fire happened in September. And Raphael did not pour the gasoline, even though his attorneys have said this. The correct thing is Beverly had poured the gasoline, which is the grandmother
of
the children.
And that's Tammy's mother, the grandmother
correct.
Of the children. And Beverly
yes.
actually lived in a house near this log cabin. This was an unfinished log cabin, as I understand.
I think it was finished, but it was never finished up to par with the city. This was just kind of something that the Beverly's husband, Lewis, had built.
Okay, so that would be unfinished. If it wasn't up to par, that would be unfinished.
Oh, okay.
So they lived in this unfinished log cabin. That's Raphael and Tammy. For what period of time would you say they lived there?
Honestly, I can't answer that question. I don't know. I know it was a while, but I really honestly can't answer that question because I don't know.
Okay, well, that's fine. That's fine. So there were times that Tammy's father would actually wake Raphael up to come and help work on this log cabin, finish it? Tell us a little about that.
Yes, he would wake Raphael up early in the morning, 4 or 5 in the morning, to go work on this cabin. I believe he was working on the outside, the steps or the garden or something. So I don't think Raphael himself had anything to do with the building. I think the building was complete. This was more on the outside. But this is what he would do, is go and wake him and get him to come and help him.
Tell the audience how he would wake him up. I mean, you know, we're talking about saving a man's life, okay? And, you know, there's always a whole lot of politics around these death row cases, and it's always a whole lot of folks who are, you know, pulling in opposite directions, and, you know, we need to spill everything. You know, in my opinion, there is nothing to hold back, because the state of Texas is planning to execute him on Wednesday. I hope that, you know, other supporters would get their selves together and, you know, assist us as well on this, because the state plans to execute him. So in a previous conversation, you said to me that Tammy's father would wake him up saying, "Get up, nigger, and go work,"
yes,
or something like that.
Yes, he would
like
use
that.
Racial slurs and wake him. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Lewis used racial slurs to wake him.
Okay. And because we don't have a whole lot of time, I want to bring out something else that's also very important, which is the fact that, let's see, the fire happened. Tammy actually did not run into the room where her children were sitting on the sofa. And this is according to a document that I have on the blog, okay?
Tammy left
did
before
not
the
run,
fire.
Pardon me?
Tammy left
I didn't
before
hear
the
you.
Fire. Tammy had left before the fire. Tammy had left when Raphael showed up at the door, even though she had invited Raphael to come.
Okay, so she did not show back up there and
no.
Not run into the room? Okay.
No, Tammy had left. Well, she left when Raphael showed up at the door. She had taken off. That's when Beverly and her brother had shown up at the house.
Okay. Well, I read that somewhere, and it brought to my mind, why didn't she run in to try to save her children? So who, you know, who would have known that those children were sitting in there and nobody went to save them? Did the grandmother try to save them?
The grandmother knew that the children were there because the grandmother was in the house.
Right, and the grandmother poured the gasoline.
Yes.
So it appears to me nobody went to save these children. Nobody ran to save them. However, Tammy's mother, who is Beverly, supposedly collected a large sum of cash from the children's wrongful death insurance policies.
Yes, nobody knows the amount of cash, but there has been talk of her being paid out, but nobody has the exact figure.
Okay, and then here Raphael is arrested and this kind of thing for the murders, and the attorney representing Raphael in lower court trial actually went to high school with Tammy's mother, okay? What I'm trying to bring out here are points that have not been investigated. Issues that definitely, you know, point fingers at other people for other things. And I think, you know, that the state of Texas is making a huge problem in getting ready to execute, you know, preparing to execute this innocent man. So we have that, that attorney, I think his last name was Carter or something, and he represented Raphael in lower court trial. And then, of course, they lost that case. I believe you had told me something about the grandmother being charged and is it the laws of parties or something there in Texas, but being charged and that swept under the rug, okay? And then we move to the appeals phase of this, where we have two lawyers that are the appellate attorneys that have turned against Rafael right now in an effort to cover up their own negligence. Would you like to tell us about them a little bit?
That is Seth and James. And Seth and James have failed Rafael from the start. And Seth and James were never interested in this case or defending Rafael. So if they've done any work, which it's been very bare minimal work, and really have no desire to help him. And what I mean by that is Rafael asked for clemency for months and asked his attorneys to file for clemency. And his attorneys have sent out emails saying, I'm sorry, I'm not going to give you hope, I'm not filing. And feel free to find a pro bono attorney to do that. When they were pressured into this, they sent us an email on Sunday night stating, hurry up and give us the letters by Wednesday so we can file clemency by Thursday. But originally they had stated they were going to file clemency no later than November 2nd, which would have been too late because it had to be filed 21 days ahead of time.
Okay.
They also have said that they filed the clemency under distress because they were forced into doing this. So they really had no, they didn't want to do it, and they were forced into the issue.
Okay.
They have told Rafael to, we are done with your case, and a Harris County judge will give you a date, but Rafael is out of Madisonville. He is not out of Harris County. They have also stated, if you find a pro bono attorney that's willing to take your case, then go ahead. And once he found one, then they said, oh, no, we're not leaving your case. Rafael wrote the judge twice and asked the judge to have them dismissed from his case, and the judge denied it both times. And now that it's getting a little too much for them, now they have asked the judge to be dismissed from the case, and the judge has told them no.
Okay. So basically, their work was extremely shabby. Even documents that they filed for him. Do you want to talk about any of that, or should we keep going?
I think we should keep going. I don't think... any of the
okay, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
The other thing is, let's see, the lawyers stated, oh, and then the lawyers put out, these same lawyers put out this information where saying that he was charged and indicted for molesting a 7-year-old child when he had been cleared by a CPS employee, Rhonda Harris. Okay, let's see what else.
His attorneys also put in the writ that Rafael had poured the gasoline, and that was not true. And it stated so from the trial of questioning of Beverly that she did admit to pouring the gasoline. But they have put in his writ that Rafael poured the gasoline, and they also used another inmate's number and put it into the courts.
Okay. So why would you think they'd use another inmate's number?
I honestly think they copied and pasted this other inmate's writ and used it in Rafael's. And I say that because the other inmate actually did pour the gasoline in an arson case. And I believe they just changed that inmate's name with Rafael's name. And it was quite clear because they used this other inmate's number. And when they had wrote Rafael, they said Harris County judge would be giving you a date.
Okay.
This other inmate is from Harris County.
I see. Well, I tell you, it's very, very often in you know, death row cases that we have shabby legal representation. We have a caller, area code 773. Welcome to the Nancy Lockhart Show. Do you have a question or a comment? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Area code 7. Yeah, hi. Chairman Fred?
How you doing? This is Chairman Fred. I'm actually on the train. I'm in horrible reception, so I'm kind of going. I'm going in and out, so I'm just calling in now. I'm catching the tail end of some discussion, so I'm just listening in before I comment.
Okay, good.
You might lose in a minute. Come on, I'm on the train.
Okay.
I'm on the phone. I might lose reception.
No problem. Just press 1 when you have your comment, or whatever. Well, not really. Basically, we're talking about Raphael Holiday, who is scheduled for execution on Wednesday, November 18th, in the state of Texas. He's an innocent man. We have Ms. Debbie Harris on the phone, who has been giving us, you know, several pointers as to why this case needs to be investigated, and why actually... you know, this man does not need to be put to death because he's innocent. Debbie, do you want to continue?
Sure. Sorry, Nancy, I'm very nervous. But where would you like me to continue?
Well,
from?
You're doing fine. And we have about 8 more minutes on live stream. And we have about 15 minutes after that that will be in the archives. I'm just trying to, you know, bring out more facts so that the media, we're going to send this out to the media, so that the media will hear the interview and, you know, let's talk about Dr. Hurst, who Dr. Hurst was and what Dr. Hurst said.
Dr. Hurst was a great scientist. That believed in Raphael, and he believed in his innocence. And Dr. Hurst did all of his work through the years in Raphael's case pro bono. Dr. Hurst filed a thesis and an affidavit, 2 affidavits, in Raphael's case, stating that Raphael, this was not an arson case. The second affidavit never made it to the court. His attorneys had said they filed it, but they did not.
Okay.
Dr. Hurst, unfortunately, passed away earlier this year, and his thesis is still sitting in the courts, but Raphael has unfortunately been denied every step of the way.
You know, so more and more and more we're hearing that these attorneys are working against them. Against Raphael, excuse me. Is it correct that they have basically told the state to go on with the execution?
Yes, in the clemency, the last letter of the clemency was asking not to delay and to proceed with the execution. But the clemency is supposed to ask mercy for the court. And they were asking to proceed with the execution. They also put in the wrong execution date and said Raphael had an execution date of February 18, 2015. The DA quickly straightened that out and said it was for November 18, 2015.
So where have you ever heard of attorneys representing someone on death row, capital murder case, that are asking for clemency where they should be asking for, you know, mercy on the court, spare the man's life, spelling out exactly why he is innocent? Where have you ever heard of the lawyers asking the state to go on and kill the man that they're representing?
I've never heard of this before.
I've
it
never
defeats
heard of
the purpose of asking for clemency.
I
have never heard.
Chairman Fred, did you have a comment?
No. Yes. I know y'all already covered this. This may be a foregone conclusion, but I'm calling in. I'm coming in late. Who is the governor?
Greg Abbott.
Oh, this is in Texas. Okay.
Texas. Okay.
He's just gotten in, and so he's pretty fresh within the last few months.
Okay.
And you said his name is Greg Adams, because I haven't even gotten that number yet.
Abbott.
Abbott.
A-B-B-O-T-T, I believe.
Okay.
We're going to ask people to call Greg Abbott. We're going to ask that you call the, Attorney General. And, folks, please go to the website, which is www.justice4rafaelholiday.blogspot.com for updates and phone numbers.
Just out of curiosity, I was just asking. What was the last execution that was held in Texas? You know?
They have them on a weekly basis.
Wow. Yeah.
If not a few times a week. Normally, it's 2 to 3 of them a week.
Texas, well, yes, indeed.
But they have them on a weekly basis. The last one has been within a couple weeks. I know there has been some stays given for other men, so I can't give you an exact date, but it's been within a couple weeks.
Yes.
Texas has done three in 1 week.
Three executions in 1 week.
Yes, they were actually due to schedule a fourth, but that man got commuted 6 hours before his execution.
Say it again. Did it committed what? Say it again.
He got commuted. They were scheduled to do a fourth that week, but he got commuted 6 hours before his execution.
Well, that reminds me of the Mississippi Willie Manning case. Willie Manning was a young man that was scheduled to be executed, and we learned about the case 7 days before the execution. Willie Manning was definitely an innocent man, but the state of Mississippi wanted to hurry up and execute him. And we were able to get a stay of execution pending DNA testing. When that DNA got tested, they found out that Willie Manning indeed was an innocent man. So he was exonerated of that murder. Unfortunately, Mississippi had pinned two sets of murders on him. But I'm just saying that to say that, you know, I believe that there is hope. I believe that if people will assist in a grassroots movement, I feel that we can save his life. I feel that we need to ask for all of these other issues to be investigated. Okay. The Office of the Governor, the main switchboard, this is Governor Abbott. Governor Abbott in Texas. The number is area code 512-463-2000. That's 512-463-2000. Ask him to grant a stay of execution. Now, has anybody even filed for a stay since he has these two lawyers that want him dead? Is anybody filing for a stay?
Yes, he has a civil attorney that has filed for a stay of execution that was denied by the federal court.
Okay, so then will that attorney plan to file for the stay, you know, ask the governor to commute the death sentence or file with the Supreme Court? I mean, you know, going up the ladder, will that attorney do that or do you know?
I believe they are filing, but I really can't answer that to speak on it.
I
won't know anything until after it's filed. But I believe they are filing.
Okay, I hope so too. We're going to call some attorneys
in this case
tomorrow
and Raphael.
Let them know what's
Raphael
going
been,
on and
Raphael
and see if we can get
start.
Some honest help. Okay.
Yes. He has not had one attorney that has done right by him since the trial.
Yeah.
He actually needs a fair chance. He needs a fair attorney to stand up for him and do correct filing. Don't do something because you're forced to. Do it because you want to. Do it because you believe in his case. I believe in this man. I believe in his innocence. And I just hope and pray that somebody steps up and does the right thing by him.
Is there a website that some people can go to find information about the case also?
Yes. It's www.justice4 Raphael Holiday, that's RAPHAELHOLIDAY .blogspot.com. Justice4 Raphael Holiday .blogspot.com. It's not complete, it's still under construction, but the legal documents are there for any attorneys, any media, anybody that needs to look through that. And you can listen to the show, and I'll be adding some more on tonight. This is sort of last minute, you know.
And this is the first date, execution date that he's been given?
Yes. This is his first date.
And that's set for November 18th?
Yes, and they're
right.
Really trying to push and kill him. So all of the wrongs that Seth and James have put in the court don't get rectified. And they want him dead so nothing is exposed.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, I don't know if you were on there, but I personally strongly believe that the insurance policy, the cash received from the wrongful death, I think that needs to be investigated. I think that
I'm saying I agree with you. Absolutely agree.
Yeah, I believe that, you know, that was motive for the grandmother to pour the gasoline, okay? And we're talking a black and white issue here in the state of Texas. I don't know if you were on the phone earlier, Chairman Fred, but this young man was living there he's 18 years old, living with a 24-year-old white woman whose name is Tammy, had a child with her, staying in a log cabin that belongs to her folks. His father getting up in the morning saying, "Get up, nigga, and let's work on this log cabin or whatever." So you get the picture, okay? So we have these lawyers who are, don't want their wrongs, everything that they messed up, they don't want that to come out in the court. And then we also have a grandmother that collected what I'm hearing is a very large sum of money on the wrongful death insurance policies, okay? And, you know, I wouldn't say that Tammy's parents liked Raphael too much, okay? And then
she was also
a woman that
had
four other men in addition to Raphael. Go ahead. Did you have something?
She also married a sex offender. That was charged with a sex offense in the same year and month that Raphael was investigated by CPS. I don't know who that child was, but a year later, the mother married that man.
So there are just many, many reasons why the state of Texas, doesn't need to execute him. You know, where have you ever seen lawyers representing somebody pushing for that person to be executed? I spent some time today trying to find out, find another case. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but I didn't find one where the lawyer actually representing the capital murder, you know, client is pushing for them to be killed. Okay, and the judge won't let them come off the case. So I think we need to call those lawyers too tomorrow. Do you by any chance have their numbers handy? If not, I can post those on the blog.
I don't have it handy, but I can find the numbers and send them to you.
Okay. And we'll ask people, you know, people need to call them too. They need to call the Texas Bar Association too. You know, that's normally not the procedure. But we're running out of time here, and we need to get some things done. You know, like I said, you know, we've had a show before talking about how these women overseas run in and get life insurance policies on these men in Texas on death row, and how, you know, on visitation day, they're just lined up. You know, some of them can't even speak English. Well, there is always someone that is out to exploit an individual on death row, okay? And I'm asking folks to please visit the blog, www.justice4RaphaelHoliday, that's RaphaelHoliday.blogspot.com. And that Raphael is spelled RaphaelHoliday, justice4RaphaelHoliday.blogspot.com. Debbie, anything else?
I think you've covered it all, Nancy. I'm thankful that you've done this, and I'm very thankful that you've done this to bring awareness to Raphael's case, as people don't know about his case, and he may be executed in 3 days. So I thank you.
Well, you're welcome, and I mean, I'm going to do more. You know, we do have a little bit of time, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, so much more will be done. I will actually follow the same procedures that I followed, the strategies that I followed to save Willie Manning's life. I've already been in contact with the individuals who assisted me, you know, with the Willie Manning case. And the only issue here is, you know, we have to find a decent lawyer, a lawyer who is not looking to have the man murdered, executed. Chairman Fred?
Yes. Yes,
Mark,
I agree.
I'm just writing down this information so you you know, our forte is, you know, getting the word out to the people. So I'm going to reiterate some of the numbers you gave out in regards to the call-ins at the governor's office, as well as Bar Association of Different Lawyers out in Texas. And I've also just add all any progressive any students or whatever, community activists locally down in what particular organizations in Texas. What city was he from? What location?
I don't know because I had the wrong city. What I learned is it is in Madison County, Texas. It's called Madisonville, and it's in Madison County. That's a good idea. So I'll look and see if there's like an HBCU or see what's there.
The respective people from the particular community that he was actually from also. We just, you know, saying, just touch back down there also, see what, you know, even community members, you know, saying, might come up with some other updated information. They might want to know something that was not covered before. They might want to bring up now, or even assist in the case now, whatever particular location he came from locally. That should be checked in also.
Oh, okay. Thanks. That's a good idea. Yeah. Thank you.
Right on.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think this basically wraps it up. Do you have anything else, Debbie?
Oh, no. I think you've covered a lot of it, and you've hit the head on the nail. I'm just exposing Ruth Christ and getting it out there, I think, is the best thing that's going to save Raphael.
Okay. I do, too. I think
he's,
you know,
from a small town. He's on death row. Nobody's really heard of his case. Unless you're from down in that area, you really have no idea who this man is. And yeah, I think exposing it is going to be the best way to save him.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you for coming on to explain this to us, Debbie. Chairman Fred, thank you for your busy day, for calling in. And what do you have coming up, December 4th, IRD Day?
Yes, indeed. IRD, International Revolutionary Day, in which we'll be acknowledging revolutionaries past and present alike. And those who are not familiar with this historical date, this is a date, December 4th, 1969, in which Chairman Crowder was to Chicago. So we'll be convening in the same site on the west side of Chicago, 3370 Chairman Fred Hampton Way, or some people call it Monroe, 12 o'clock high noon, clenched fist in the air, and solidarity for legacy Chairman Fred, the fiscal of Mark Clark, and this is a stated revolutionaries past and present alike. So again, it's December 4th. Those who will not be in Chicago, we calling them to spirit of solidarity. You know, whether they're locked up, whether they're on the college campuses or wherever they be at, 12 o'clock Chicago time, extended clinch for salute, and it's really commemorating the legacies of, we say, the day two of our Twin Towers fell, a day in which we define as one of the most brutal acts of terrorism to occur on U.S. soil, that day the Chairman Freddie Fisher and Mark Clark was assassinated. And information can be retrieved from our blog spot, www.chairmanfredjr.com. Again, www.chairmanfredjr.com. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. I think we're about, you know, out of time. If everyone would visit those different blog spots and definitely keep up with the case of Raphael Holiday. And thanks for joining, everyone. Good night.
Well, good night.
Thank you, Nancy. Good night.
You're welcome. Good night.